I'm here with Grammy award-winning songwriter Brett James. Say hi, Brett.
Hey, this is Brett.
And Charlie Judge, one of Nashville's most sought-after composers, keyboardists, arrangers, etc.
You name it, he does it. Yes.
Good morning.
And you guys, along with Hillary Lindsay and Gordy Sampson, are going to be performing with the Louisville Orchestra this weekend, tomorrow night at Whitney Hall, a bill of country hits arranged by Charlie, many of them written by Brett. So tell us a little bit about the program first. What can we expect in Whitney Hall on Saturday?
Well, what you can expect are Charlie's amazing arrangements put to a bunch of hit songs that people have heard on the radio before. We do, I think, 19 number one songs in the show. We do, and we kind of rotate. If you've seen the show Nashville, you've seen the Bluebird Cafe, where they kind of sit around and they share, you know, one songwriter plays his hit, the next one plays the hit, and the next one plays the hit, or whatever, and they kind of go around in a circle. And that's sort of what we do with our show, except this time we get to do it with your Louisville Symphony Orchestra and to Charlie's great arrangements. It's really fun.
Boy, the song selection that we had to draw from is pretty unbelievable. And not to mention that all the writers, Brett and Hillary and Gordy and Troy are all great performers and singers.
It's a lot of fun.
So Brett, you guys are going to, the songwriters are going to be performing.
We sing our own songs, exactly. And we tell you how, kind of, there's some stories involved. We like to kind of let people peek behind the curtain and see how songs were written and or how, where the idea came from. And so that's part of the show, too.
Well, it's, the on stage at Whitney Hall with the orchestra, the full orchestra behind you is not exactly the intimate Bluebird Cafe.
No, but we try to make it that. And we try to, you know, it's not as stiff and formal as some shows can be with symphonies. We kind of relax it and let's make it the living room and really have fun.
Do you guys do these orchestral shows often? Charlie, I know you had a big Hollywood Bowl gig a couple of years ago.
Oh, well, that was with Carrie Underwood, but, But yeah, with the Music City Hitmakers, we've been doing this for, 3 years?
A couple years now, and we've gotten some great ones. Fort Worth, we did a couple months ago. We got the Boston Pops coming this summer with three shows with them, so that's exciting.
Nice. It's interesting to if you sort of follow country music, you kind of know that a lot of the big performers have these songwriting teams and publishing houses behind them that are constantly creating new creative material for them. But, when we think of your Grammy hit was Jesus Take the Wheel, which was performed by Carrie Underwood. Right. But we're going to hear it the way that you originally started writing it in your head, through your voice and through your interpretation of it.
Absolutely. And that was sort of the impetus to start this show. Hillary Lindsay and Gordy Sampson and I are the three performers in the show, and the three of us wrote Jesus Take the Wheel together. And so that was kind of the start of this idea, the kind of the seed to make this thing happen. And then we all have hits with, you know, other writers and other artists, and so we brought all that together and put a show together. But you get the great joy of listening to Hillary Lindsay sing Jesus Take the Wheel. She's one of, she's as good as, even though she's the most successful female songwriter in Nashville in the last 20 years. She's incredibly successful. But she could have had 20 record deals over those 20 years. She's been offered more record deals than anyone I know. She's one of the most amazing singers you'll ever hear. So to get to hear her sing that song and to hear how it was written, things like that, that's what makes the show a little special.
Well, let's talk about then the Nashville songwriting industry is interesting and a little bit unique in that I think, in a lot of genres, people go to L.A. or to New York, and what they want is that recording deal. They want to be in the video, in the CoverGirl commercial, out front and center. And in Nashville, it's just as sought after to get a publishing deal.
That's true.
Right? Yeah.
It's called a writing mecca.
So how does that work? When you get a publishing deal, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Well, I'm a publisher. I have a publishing company. So
nice.
I have several writers that write for me. What that means is, usually that means you're getting paid to write songs for a living every day, which is nice. And it means that becomes your full-time job. You wake up in the morning and you're usually going to an office or a studio and you're writing songs. And the publisher's job is to then take those songs to the producers and the artists and to exploit or to sell your songs, essentially. And so you get to make royalty money off them eventually. And that's sort of the goal, is to have hits and earn royalties. And you're right, Nashville is a very unique place in that. In my opinion, I've worked a lot in L.A., I've worked a lot in London, I've worked a lot in New York, I've worked in Miami, I've worked all kinds of great cities, and they're great writers in all these towns. But Nashville sort of is kind of the last creative songwriting community in the world. Even when you go to Los Angeles, as many writers as there are out there, it's very splintered. But we really have a community. And when, like, for instance, if you come, if I were to sign you to a publishing deal tomorrow, you would come to my two old, big old 1890s houses on Music Row in Nashville, much like in the TV show, and you would show up for work every day, and we have a studio in one, and you would get to know within a very short period of time all of the other people that are on the same path because we all know each other, and we all work together in different circles, and it's a really great, positive, creative community, and I'm very lucky to get to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that songwriters don't necessarily just have to survive on being freelance performers and songwriters in Nashville, that if you can get a job, as you said, a full-time job, you come to work and your office is, let's sit down and try to write this bridge today.
That's exactly right. And that's a pretty rare thing in this world. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, so you mentioned the show Nashville. I'm a fan. I watch. both of you guys, what do you think? Are they getting it right? Are fans at home getting a sort of, at least I know highly dramatized, but sort of a real life look into the industry?
You know, they are, in my humble opinion. I think they're getting a lot more right than they're getting wrong. I think they're doing a great job. And they've been very intentional about that, as a matter. I mean, when Nashville became Nashville, the TV show, two other people from the industry and I, they called me and we all sat. They said, would you come meet with our entire creative staff? Because they want to pick your brains about what does it look like? What do we say? What do we not say? How does this look? And they've done a great job all along the way of talking to insiders and people who do it every day, and, you know, and just getting things right. You know, the big joke in Nashville is if you're a songwriter, you go home and your parents ask you, have you sold any songs lately? Well, we don't sell songs. We pitch songs, they take our songs, and then we make royalties. But there's no such thing as I sold a song today for, you know, X number of dollars. So it's little things like that yeah. They're doing a great job of getting right, I think.
Well, so one of the conversations that one of the sort of dramatic tensions in the show is this tension between old guard and new guard. What is country enough, or what is too pop, according to some folks? And that's an ongoing conversation, I think, in any genre that continues to evolve, the traditionalists versus the new guard. So you guys also work in the pop world, too, Brett. You've worked for Taylor Swift, Kelly Clarkson, Westlife, Charlie, et cetera. So how do you guys approach those different genres? How do you know when you're writing a country song versus a pop song? Or do you? Do you just write a good song and then take it from there?
Well, from the writing standpoint, that would be Brett's question, but you know, I mean, I would assume as a writer, you're just trying to write a good song and see where it would find a home.
You know, there's such a broad spectrum of what is country music, especially anymore. We really are given so much freedom now that even we didn't used to get. You know, for instance, you know, Taylor Swift is the biggest artist on the planet. She's also the biggest pop artist on the planet. Well, guess what? She's still on country radio, and and we claim her because she's ours, because she makes great music. Mm. And I think more and more as the years go by, it's really not about, you know, how country something is, it's about how great something is. And I think that's the most important thing.
And, you know, going back, all the country artists that we consider classic now, I'm sure in their day, they were really pushing the boundaries, and there were people that were not happy about it. But
it's always been that way, and probably, you know, but I do think that's almost, I mean, from my perspective, that's almost gone. You know, even I've been doing this for 20 years, and there was always that, is it country enough? Is it country enough? And obviously, you can't just go, I can't go write a Kanye West song and expect country radio to play it, because they're not going to, you know.
But Charlie, could you arrange that Kanye West song so that country radio would play it?
Well, as long as there's a melody and some good lyrics, yeah.
Charlie probably could, yes, absolutely.
Well, how would you do that? I mean, what are some of the differences in, like, instrumentation or arrangement? How do you take a song that has, they're like, well, this could be a Christina Aguilera song or a Taylor Swift song.
Well,
what do we do with it?
There's kind of a running joke about what's called country insurance on a song, where you just make sure there's some pedal steel or a little fiddle on there, and that helps. And I'm being a little facetious, but there's truth to that. But yeah, the instrumentation has a lot to do with it. Like, I love to try to sneak synthesizers and stuff like that into the sound. But you know, you have to find a way to do it that it organically fits the genre. So it's kind of like how much of the country instruments versus how much of the pop instruments. You try to find a balance, and it's tricky.
But yeah, and it can be done. And when I go to Los Angeles to write pop music, for instance, it's usually the track guy or the producer of that track is usually sitting there with a laptop, and he's creating every instrument that you hear on a keyboard, you know, from the drums to the bass to the everything. And in Nashville, if you know, you might take the same song, and of course, it's going to sound more like a pop track, more like something you might hear Pink do or Christina Aguilera do, or you know, one of those kind of bands, or Justin Bieber. Whereas you take the same song in Nashville and you walk in with seven genius musicians like Charlie in a real studio, and we cut, you know, live drums and live piano, and it really has a different feel. And like you said, you know, that's sort of, you know, that's mainly the difference sometimes with, and that's why we've seen crossover songs work. And some, you know, there are country songs that come and can be produced, you know, pop. Or I had a song that was a pop song last year, a song I wrote called, what was it called? Mr. Know-It-All for Kelly Clarkson. Mm. But it was also, they re-recorded it in an acoustic version and released it to country radio. And it didn't do great, but it went to, I think, 23 or 4 on the charts, so it did okay.
Yeah, Brett, you touched on something about Nashville that's pretty unique these days, which is we still go in and cut things band style, where you have, you know, drummer and a bass player and a couple of guitar players and a keyboard player and everything. And we actually track things live, old school. And most places now, as Brett was saying, you get one guy in a room with a computer, and then you might add a player later. Or, you know, it's all sort of piecemeal. Mm-hmm. And so the way we do it is like the old days, you know, with the band actually playing together.
And there's some amazing synergy that's involved.
Well, we're going to see some of that amazing synergy and old school live performance Saturday night, 8 p.m. in the Kentucky Center's Whitney Hall, Music City Hitmakers with the Louisville Orchestra Pops Series. Thanks so much, Brett James, Charlie Judge.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Come on down.